Okay, so we got actually to the Gemara on Zayin Amud Beis. I want to go back just for a minute. If you go to Zayin Amud Aleph, this is where the Ran is, I shouldn't say only here, but it's another example of why the Ran is kind of like fun, having the Ran as opposed to just having Rashi. If Jonathan actually pointed out to me, there's a very important Ran here that we didn't take a look at on Zayin Amud Aleph. If you go in the skinny lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down in the skinny lines on Zayin Amud Aleph. So we mentioned before that we ended our whole series of questions about is there yad for peyah? Is there yad for kiddushin? Is there yad for tzedakah? Is there yad for all these different things? Yad for hefker, beis akisei, and we ended with sort of a tibayilei, which we translate basically as a teku. And we said, oh, so there's no psak. And Jonathan appropriately pointed out that the Ran says over there on Zayin Amud Aleph, halacha, right? So he recognizes that we ended without a psak, so he tells us what the psak is in a lot of these cases. So take a look. We won't read every word here in the run, but to take a look at some of the piskei halacha here on this shayla, I think it's very interesting. So it says the run inyan halacha, the kiddushin naktid in lachum, right? So let's say, meaning, because again, we don't know if a person says harim gudesh esli va'at, right? So he says to the case was right. He gave two coins to the first woman, or two rings, or whatever he's giving, and then he says, Harid Kadeshesli, and then Va'at to the other woman. We didn't know, is the second woman Kadeshes or not, right? So by Kiddushin, he says, Nakhtin l'chumra. We're going to be Machmir, the Yesh Yad. We're going to assume that there is a Yad. Why? The Kavan, the Bain L'Ifshita, since it's a question that has no answer, per se, we haven't given an answer to the question, Havalei Sveka Daraisa. The rule is Sveka Daraisa. L'chumra, if it's a suffix, maybe she's married to him. So if she goes in, she marries somebody else, you can have an Eish Zish, Midaraisa, holy cow. Terrible Yisurin that can come back. You have a mamzer or whatever. So, and because of that case, we have to be Machmir, and she would, you know, we would assume that she has to get a get, for example, if she wants to marry somebody else. Ubepeya, L'chumra, if she wants to stay married to him, we'd probably require another Kiddushin. Because again, misafik, we require her to do that, right? L'chor. He didn't say that, but presumably, right? Fine. So that's in terms of Kiddushin. We're on Zayin Amud Aleph in the Ran.
Okay.
7 lines down in the skinny lines. Lead in halacha. So that's the by Kiddushin. The second case he writes, Ubepeya Uvitztaka. What about the cases of, right? Again, the same thing. The guy separates Peya. He says, this quarter of my field is going to be Peya. And then he says, Vehadein, and this one, right? Or he says this $100 bill is tzedakah v'hadein, and the other one, right, is also sitting in front of him. So what's halacha in those cases? Kasev arash bazal nami dazin l'chumra. We also go l'chumra to assume that they are designated for tzedakah, they are designated for peya, right? Why? Kevan disalku b'teku. Since we left with the tekud, we didn't know what to do. So again, suffik, we assume to be machmir. V'chein kasev ramban b'chosav. Instead, therefore, in the Ramban also writes the same thing in his halachos. Because again, the question about tzedakah is not explained, doesn't give an answer. Okay, so this is a little bit different. Meaning, here, it's not necessarily that he's saying because it's daraisa, per se, but it's a tekud di isura, meaning you've made this thing forbidden to yourself. I can't get benefit from that now. Other people can't get benefit. So therefore, once it's a teku, when it comes to Isser, so then we're machmir. So rather than the person, you know, running the risk of making use of Isurim, so we're machmir. Happens to be that Peya is Daraisa. But he doesn't say that. Tzedakah, it's a good child if that's to be considered. The fact that you set the item aside as tzedakah, is that like a neder midaraisa? How do you quantify it? You know, how do you qualify that exactly? It's a good question. He doesn't say. But anyways, so and he talks about this more as you move along. Just skip down for a minute. Where it says aval Suriam, like 5 lines down there in the run. Middle of the word aval b'may dekamar. I have a period before the word aval. Yeah. Aval dekamar dekaimal anami dekol teku di yisur lechumra. Right, this idea that we just said that you know, we assume that any teku by Isser is we have to be machmir. V'nira shehiskim gamkin lezeh harashba. The Rashba seems to also agree to this idea, but and then he kind of questions it. It's not so obvious. Is that really true? We have a rule about Safik Mamon, Safik Mamon Aniyim. And sometimes we say Safik Mamon Yigo Lakula. But he seems to assume that. So he's not so happy with his answer. If he skip down even further into the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down in the wide lines, like the sixth or seventh word from the end, Ela Vadai Sveke de Mamona Niem Lomikri Sveke de Isura, Ela Sveke de Mamona Ulakula Ulafigach Eni Mischaver Bidivrayam Zabaza. So he says, I actually don't agree. And he says, and again, what's the point? What does it mean, Suffolk? You know, a suffolk mama means, what's the usual rule? Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, right? If you want to take my money away, you have to prove that it belongs to, that it belongs to you, right? So if I claim that you owe me $1,000 and you say no, I didn't, we don't say, oh, suffolk, give it to me, right? That's not fair. That's not fair. It's not true. We don't do that, right? So the point being, suffolk mamona. Sometimes we say it's not exactly the same rule, but it's the same concept, right? So his point is, if it's really suffolk mamona, maybe that money is still mine. So who says that, you know, tzedakah should take it, you know, should take it from me in a certain sense? And therefore he's actually not happy with that, and he pulls it back. He says he thinks that when it comes to tzedakah, we wouldn't be machmir. Okay. Next case, right after that, the gabe hefker. Ein safek the havele sveke de mamona, de mamon, ulakula, ve'inya. And he says, by safek hefker, for sure, that's the rule. It's safek mamon, and therefore we'd be mekel. Right, and we would assume there's no yad for hefker. V'chei nami gabe beis akisei, and same thing when it comes to beis akisei. That filum tim salomar zimun moil. Even if you want to say that zimun works, right, designating the item, the place as a beis akisei, that works. Yeah, but that only works me derabanan. V'havalei seke derabanan lukula. So if we're not sure, you know, the guy says this is a beis akisei v'hadein, we wouldn't assume now that you're forbidden to say kriya shema, for example, in the beis akisei, because that zimun is only made the rabbanan, therefore be big. So fine. So just interesting, important to note that even when the Gemara ends with a relative teku, we still need to know what to do. And this is not like pie in the sky shiloh. This is real life. So the Rishonim have to deal with it, and the Ran, you know, kind of breaks it down for us. Okay. So now flip back to Zayin of a base. We were discussing until now what happens the case of the case that Rabbi Kiva was talking about, right, was the case of our Mishnah, where we said, the language was, we'll be specific here because it depends, the language matters a lot. Menuda ani lacha. Rabbi Kiva was chochich bala hachmir. Right? So menuda ani lacha. So we said, so we basically broke it down to say that if the language was nidina minach, everyone agrees that he's forbidden. Now I'm like, I'm in nidua, I can't get benefit from you, etc. If I say mishamsana minach, everyone agrees that's just like separating yourself, but it's not really abandoning yourself, but it's not, everyone agrees that that's, didn't do anything, and you're meant to get hana from the guy. But the machlokas is the word menuda. Which one is that, right? And Rabbi Kiva's note that to say it should be like the language of niduya, and the rabbanan say no, that's more like mishamtana. Fine. And so the Gemara now continues on the third line in Zanim Beis upliga de Rav Chista. But this whole conversation has disagrees with Rav Chista. Why? As the following story: Dahu gavra da amar mishamtana benichse de berei de Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. Certain person said, I'm mishamtana. I have to be separated from the nechasim, the property of Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. And what happened? Us, the commentary of Rav Chista. So that person, after he said it, so they came to Rav Chista, and Amalai, and they said to them, Leis the chash le l'ha de Rabbi Akiva. Nobody thinks that Rabbi Akiva Shita is really a shayla, right? Or that his opinion is really, accepted. Okay, but again, what was the language the person used? He said, Mishamtana. What was the case that we had in the Mishnah? Our case is a different language. Right? Our Mishnah was the case of Menuda. And what did we just say? We broke down and said, Mishamtana, everyone agrees that that's Mutter. Right? So what's happening here? So it must be that, right? So what do you see? Kasavra Mishamtana Pligi. You see that Rav Chista, who responded, don't worry about it, you're fine. Why? Because no one agrees with Rabbi Akiva. What should he have said? What do you mean? Both the Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan agree that this is nothing, right? That's not even the machlokes. That's not what he said. He said, no, yeah, it's a machlokes, but we don't pass like Rabbi Kiva. So what do you see? You see the Rav Chista doesn't actually held that that the case of Menuda and Mishamtana are actually the same. And that and that fine. So he passes against Rabbi Akiva. But bottom line is, he thinks they argue both in that case and that case also. Fine. Okay. Fine. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav. Rabbi Ila says the name of Rav the following: Niduhu Befanov, Ein Matirin Lo El Befanov. If you put somebody in Nidoy, and he was standing in front of the Talmud Chacham or the Beis Din or whoever puts him in Nidoy, if he was standing in front of you when you said it, and you put him in Nidoy, so then you can only take him out of Nidoy by what? Doing so with him standing in front of you. Niduhu Shalo Befanov, Matirin Lo Bein Befanov, Bein Shalom B'Fanav. But if you put him in Nidoy when he wasn't in front of you, you just declare the following person's in Nidoy. Right? It's like a type of Cheirim, basically, where like people have to stay away from you, you have to be Dalai Amos away, you can't do business with the person, etc. So if they put you in Cheirim, not in front of the person, so then Matirin Lo Bein B'Fanav Bein Shalom B'Fanav. So then you can take him out, either he's in front of you or not. What is this all about? Look at the Ran, top of the page. So why did you do b'fanav ein matirin lo ela b'fanav? Why is it to be there when you take him out of the chayim? You can do without him. Who cares? The kaven de b'fanav nidehu alim niduya v'lo mi'akar ela b'fanav. So the simple pshat is that it's, you know, there's some strength in a nidah that's done with the person standing there, and since there's a certain strength to it with him, if it's in front of him, right? So then he has to be there to have it removed from him. Okay. The Gemara in Gittin talks about something's done in front of 10 people, so you need 10 people, right? 10 people is always a representative group of Klal Yisrael. It's considered like a tzibor, right? It's considered a kahal, whatever, right? You have a public, right? It's a public display, so then I need 10 people to remove it. But it says around Valona here, but you know, I don't like that. Ela Taima, best one shot. But I don't like that. Ela taima de milsa mishum chashada. It's a different reason. It's because of a concern that we have. I mean, why? Dima tirin lo shalo b'fanav. What happens if we take a guy, if a guy's put in, or a woman, and put in nidor, they're put in chayim, and then we remove the chayim, right? Shalo b'fanav, when they're not there. So pa'amim shia tiruhu, something can happen that they've actually removed the nidor in the person, v'amenu de lo yada, and the person doesn't know. And what's going to happen? And all of a sudden people start to come over and hang out, want to come over for coffee. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm in Nidoy. Right? They all know he's out, and he doesn't even know. Right? And he's gonna think that they're not following the halacha. Right? There's certain ways you're supposed to treat me, and you're not doing that. Right? Avakashini do shaloba fun of. But if the Nidoy was put in place when he wasn't there anyways, like a chashada, they're not worried about that. Why? Shaf who's over Shema Yahatihitiru Shalom Fun of. He's like, if they're not following, he says, oh, I know it probably happened. Just like you put me in Nidoy without me being there, maybe they took me out of Nidoy without me being there, right? Kishem she need you who's shalom b'fanav. I mean, if the whole thing happens without me being there, so I'm not so, I'm not going to be choshed, or maybe they're not following the halacha, right? If I was there when it started, and then somebody do it when I'm not around, they take it out when I'm not around, so then I'm nervous. What are these guys doing? But if the whole thing happens not in my presence, so then, okay, so there's probably things going on I don't know about, just like they've been the whole time. So, but what it sounds like, though, by the way, we'll keep reading the Ran. Vizek osu sha'am lo kam perek of Elazar hamudar hana mechaver b'fanav eim atirin lo ela b'fanav. Right, this the same idea that a person who takes a neder to not get hana from the person in front of them, so they only allow it to be taken to remove it when the person's there. Umefarish b'yisham the time b'shup chashada. Same thing, same rule, because the guy's concerned. Lefizek kol shehidi hodi uhu the leka chashada matirin lo shalom b'fanav. Meaning, if that's true, then what does it mean? It's not actually true that he has to be there. And if you put him in Nidoy without, in front of you, and then you send him a note, by the way, we took you out of Nidoy, that's also fine. Why? Because the whole concern is considered chashad. It's not that actually that the mechanism doesn't work. It's just that we're nervous about it. So as long as you send a note, then he knows, so then that's fine. So then matirin lo shalom b'fanav, v'choshi tiru nami, afapi shalohi diuhu, mutar diyevid. And if you do it without telling him, it's also gone. The mechanism still works. Fine. Okay. Next. Amar Rav Chanan. Amar Rav. Okay, another idea.
It's probably more confusing for the general public than it is. In other words, if the general public sees half the people now talking to him, inviting
yes.
him to coffee and the other people,
it's a lot of confusion.
Directly.
Yeah. You have to be careful, right? You never make these types of like policy decisions. You have to think about it. People are going to be confused, etc. It's like very important. So it's the same type of idea. You're going to set a standard, and then you don't follow it, or you set it up so that people won't be following it the same way, it's confusing. And that's why the Ran says this is not a halacha per se, that how it works, but it's good practice. It's smart to make sure that we can follow this through in the right way. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so next. Amrav Chanan Amarav. Hashomei haskaras Hashem mipni chavero tzarech lindoso. A person, here's another person, uses Shem Hashem, presumably in a negative way. Shem Hashem levatal, not it's praises Hashem. Right? But they use haskaras Hashem in the wrong way. If they do that, tzarech lindoso, you have to put them in nidoy. So we're going to see, does that mean that any regular person can put someone else in nidoy? So it probably doesn't mean that. But the point is, you have to make sure that the person gets put in nidoy. V'im lo niduhu, hu atzmo yehi b'nidoy. And if you don't, now you're in. Now you're in nidoy. Whoa, what's going on here? Anytime there is Haskaras Hashem in a certain place, then poverty comes to that place. V'anios kamisa. And poverty is like death. Shenamar, how do I know? Kimesu kol nashem. Because when it's time for Moshe Rabbeinu to go back to Mitzrayim, what does Hashem say? All the people who wanted to kill you, they've already died. So we're going to talk about that's like Nadav and Avihu, right? The people who were fighting and told Moshe that they know that he killed somebody, he killed the Egyptian. V'tanya, whenever the Chazal put their eyes on something, so either Misa comes to that place or Oni comes to that place. So what does that mean? So take a look at the Ran. So says the Ran, Bereish Tamura, the Gemara in Tamura, Mafkinan Asara Lamaskar Shem Shaman Levatala. Okay, this is a halacha that a person has to be careful not to use Hashem's name in vain. Right? They have to have fear of Hashem, meaning even using his name. Vimloni duhu, hu atzmo yehibin. And so it sounds like an Isidaraisa. And if you don't put him in nidoy, so the guy himself is put in nidoy. Why? Doesn't mean that like, boom, all of a sudden like magic, you become put in nidoy. Ela ra'uy lehisnados kamer means if you're a person who doesn't stand up for the right thing, it's appropriate to put you in nidoy. Sharei hamaskir atzmo tzarech nidoy, because the guy himself is that needs to be put in nidoy. Veheich yehei chamur mimenu hashomei veshosek. How could a person who hears it and doesn't say anything be more chamor than the guy himself? I mean, the guy himself who says it, you have to put him in nidoy, right? But fine. So it doesn't mean that it happens to you automatically, but it means that you are now, it's appropriate for it to happen to you too. Shebechol malkom, says the Ran, time, I mean, anytime there's a place where there's a scar of shame, you have anias. Okay, what's going on here? Time akayayav lamay darminan v'im lo niduhu hu atzmo yehi b'nidoy. What does it mean that he's gonna, again, he himself should put in nidoy? Sharei achshav chamor, Onsho chamor. There's a change there because the language of the punishment is chamor. The shamanius with you, meaning why is it that I holy cow, if I don't do anything, then I'm gonna be put in nidoy. Why? Because it's a very serious avera. Why? Because you see, there's a nios in such a place, right? That's considered like the worst thing, to take someone's money away. It's a horrible thing. Right? It says, anytime you say my name, I'm going to come there and give a bracha. If that means that anytime you say Hashem's name in the right way, etc. Right? So then, haskar l'shav, if bracha always means Hashem's giving osher, right? Wealth. And if it means that if a person, you know, that's when you say use Hashem's name the right way. If you use it the wrong way, it's going to do the opposite. Also, when it comes to shuah, you take an oath in vain. Right? It says that his avon will be destroyed. And again, there's comparisons between saying Shem Hashem, Levatala, and taking an oath. The point being, that's why it causes such a thing. What's this idea with Kimeisa Kol Hashem Vakshim Hashem Nafshecha? What does it do? What's this idea of that we know that being poor is like being dead because of the people who were trying to go after Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe they talk and died. That's the simple pshat, that the people wanted to kill and they had died. So what are you talking about? So he says the Lo Mesu Mamish didn't really die. Can I read the common paragraph, Rebbe Lazar? So see, later on we can see in Daf Samach Tanos and Beis the Mehave. Anytime you have seen people in the Torah referred to as nitzim, fighting, and nitzavim, that always refers to dasan of avirim. There's a shiur to give about Aviram, actually before, about Dasan Vaviram, who show up multiple times in the Torah. It's always Dasan Vaviram. Why did Chazal do that? Whatever. But the point is, it's always Dasan Vaviram who caused trouble. And there later on, right? Dasan Vaviram, they're the two guys fighting, right? In the second story, you see Moshe's life, right? The two guys fighting. And they're also, all the way later, in the story of Korach, also Dasan Vaviram. Okay? Ela Dibin Pnei. So, but the point is, so they're still alive. They didn't die. Right, so if it's the same guys, so the Vakshim es Nafshecha were Dasan Vaviram, so clearly they didn't die. So what are we going to say? Ella de bifnei she'anu amra kimesu. The fact that they became poor, they died. Okay, so how do I know that? So he says the Afagav Darmin and Hasam the Arba Chashuvim kimesu. There's actually four people who are considered like someone who's in theory like mace. Ani v'suma mitzora umisha in labanim. A poor person, a blind person, someone has saras, and someone who unfortunately is not blessed with children. So how do I know that which one applies to them? So hacha vade me'anias kama. Here, for sure, it's talking about anias. How do I know? The ein lomar shenistemu. Can't say they became blind. Why? Taksiv machlokas oshal korach ha'enei anashim ha'em tenaker. Right? When they say, you won't come out, it's cute, right? And he says, we won't come to you. You can take our eyes out, and we won't come to you. Oh, so what do you see? There must be, they can see. Right? Okay, good. Veleka lamemar nami shahi mitzira. In case they have mitziras, why? Ksak tahaksiv bekerev kol Yisrael. Right? They were in the midst of Klal Yisrael. If they had saras, they'd have to be outside the camp. Right? Veleka lamemar shin israpu. Maybe say they got better at Matan Torah. Right? Like everyone had Matan Torah, Chazal say they got better from all their things. Taharminan shechazu lamuman. But Maisegel, because the rule was when Chet Egel happened, everyone's blemishes came back. You can't say it's because they didn't have children. Why? Even Cain. They had said it's time to go back to Mitzrayim, but they initially are seen as the ones who are talking to Paro. That's the assumption. The children of Avraham came to Paro and they have influence in some way. So what? Because they have no children, so now they can now he can come back. It doesn't make any sense, right? Meaning, because they didn't have kids? No, it must be. They lost all the money. They weren't chashiv anymore. So Paro's not listening to them anymore. So he explains this whole Ma'amar Chazal has to mean anias. Fine. Okay. So this all explains to us why saying Askar Hashem. You know, Hashem is a bad idea. You become an ani. It's like your mace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. And anytime Chazal show up, right? So we said, you know, they bring trouble. So o miso oni. So it says Iran alma shavu lahadadi. You see, they are they're the same. Fine. Okay. The Iran asks another question. He asks a question. He quotes Tosfos that asks, you know, why only askar Hashem? Any avera. Someone doesn't avera, you don't say anything. It's a rule. You have to give your view. If someone doesn't avera and you don't say anything, so you can't just stand by and do nothing. We know you can't do that. Right? So why is that? So if you drop down like four or five lines from where we are, Vitirtsu, the first word lines, Vitirtsu, the Ein Achanami. It's true, you're right. It's true by other halachas also. Elamiu, Baskaras Hashem, Belachud, Hu Da Amar. But here we mentioned Baskaras Hashem. Why? Dimloni Du, Hu Atma Yevinidoi, Pesha Ansha Chamor. Right? It's just an example. It's really true in every halacha. But we talk about it here because it's such a serious aver. But it's true by anything. Anytime you see someone doing an aver and you do nothing, so that's considered a terrible thing. That's what happens in Matisyahu. The story that's told by Matisyahu was that in times of Hanukkah, was that a Jew got up and the Romans made a Jew get up and shech the pig or something, right? And he gets up and he kills that Jew who does it, right? There's a certain people doing the wrong thing, so... You have to know how much to stand up and what to do exactly, but there's such a concept. Okay, back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Havuka imna kamei de Rav Huna, shama lahach itza de afka karas Hashem levatala. So Rav Abba said, I was with Rav Huna and I heard a woman who said Shem Hashem levatala, shamsa v'sharala la'alter b'apa. So what happened? He first put her into nidui, and then he immediately took her out. Okay, so Shema Mina Atzlas. We learned three things from this story. Shema Mina Shemei Askaras Hashem Pichavera Tzarach Lindosa. You see from here, you see someone do Shem Hashem Levatala, you have to put him in Nidoy. Vishma Mina Niduhu Befanov Eimartin Al Befanov. And you see if you put someone Nidoy in front of them, you have to take them out in front of them. Right? He did it, but she was still there. Shema Mina Eim Bein Nidoy Lehafara Velo Klum. You find out here also, there's no, look at the the what we call the Rashi, right? The Mefurash, whatever we call him exactly, above. Ein bein yidu l'afarav lo klum. To lo tzarech li yos yom o yomayim beneath. There's no space. You don't need a couple of days to go by. The hala out there, Sharola. He let her out immediately. Right? So you see there's no daylight. You don't need any certain amount of time. You can put something in nidoy, and boom, right out, right away. You don't have to have any space between them. Fine. Amr of Gidol Marav, Tamachacham menade la'atzmo, u'mefer la'atzmo. Wow, so Gidol now says in the name of Rav that Tamachacham can put himself in nidoy and can actually remove his nidoy also to himself. Mar says, Pshita, that's obvious. Well, it's obvious, we'll see. Mar would say, what have you thought? Ein chavash matir atzmo v'sasur. I might think that a person who is in jail can't free himself from jail. I can put myself in nidoy, I take myself out, then what's the value? It's like so flimsy, right? Kamash malan. That's not true, that he actually can. So Gemara says, well, hey, Chidamin, what's the case? It sounds wild. Any person can take themselves out of Nidoy? No. Ki ha de marzucha chasida, ki mechayiv bar beirav, shamsa, mashmes nafshe bereisha. No, the case is like Marzutra, right, who is a Marzutra chasida, who is a very pious person. When he would put another person in Nidoy, what would he do? He'd also put himself in Nidoy also. Why? V'hadar mishames bar beirav. And then he put the Talmud in Nidoy. So what would he do? And then he'd get home, he'd take himself out of Nidoy, and then he'd take them out of Nidoy. Meaning, the only times he would put the Talmid Chacham can put himself in Nidoy, and then take himself out is, he's doing it out of sensitivity. Right? He's doing it out of like, you know, he doesn't really require it. But if he did something that required himself to be put in Nidoy, so then he can't put himself in and take himself out, that we wouldn't allow. Here he does it just out of a certain, a certain sensitivity to the other person, so that's why he's allowed to do so, but otherwise that wouldn't be allowed. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we'll pick up next
what's
week.
What's the way that somebody got out of the identification here? Like, they make
it's a declaration or something. Yeah.
They say, I'm